In this lecture of Component 2, Unit 8, we will finish our discussion on privacy, confidentiality, and security by discussing the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, security rule. There is a readable overview of the HIPAA security rule on the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, website called Security 101 for covered entities. And there are a number of other documents that go into more detail on the specifics. Another document provides guidance on security related to remote devices, such as handhelds and laptops. The terminology of the HIPAA security rule is aligned with the privacy rule, so that presumably one could identify areas of the security rule that map back to the privacy rule. The HIPAA security rule aims to minimize specificity and to be what they call technology neutral to allow scalability, flexibility, and the ability to adapt to changes in technology. As such, there are only 13 required implementation specifics. The remainder of what is listed in the security rule is addressable. That is, there are approaches that may or may not be reasonable for a particular covered entity. Of course, some people get nervous when government regulations are not as specific as possible. And in fact, one article from a trade journal lists the kinds of questions you might be asked if you were ever audited by the U.S. government for adherence to the HIPAA security rule. In general, this has not happened, although there are recent hints that the government will soon start to audit organizations with regards to compliance to the security rule. The general provisions of the security rule are that covered entities must ensure confidentiality, integrity, and availability of electronic protected health information that they create, receive, transmit, and maintain. They must protect against reasonably anticipated threats and hazards to such information by having a secured data center and using encryption where appropriate. They must have protections against reasonably anticipated uses or disclosures that are not permitted or that are required by the privacy rule. They also must ensure compliance by their workforce to implement the security and privacy rules. What are the required safeguards? They are grouped into three categories: administrative, physical, and technical. Administrative safeguards are related policies and procedures that are designed to prevent, detect, and contain security violations. Physical safeguards are things like protecting facilities, equipment, and media where medical information is stored. Technical safeguards are implementing various technical policies and procedures. The following slides will show some features from each category, though these are not exhaustive. The overview article referenced in the previous lecture further enumerates all of these safeguards, as do many other sources of information. This slide shows the first part of the table of administrative safeguards from the Security 101 document. Perhaps the most important of the required standards is a security management process that includes an analysis of risk, how risk is managed, and any sanction policy. There also need to be procedures for what is done when security is violated, as well as an overall information system activity review. Additionally, there must be assigned security responsibility in the form of a chief security officer. The security for the rest of the workforce is addressable, as are aspects of information access management, with the exception of the requirement that healthcare clearinghouse functions must be isolated, so they can be analyzed with regards to security issues. Continuing with the administrative safeguards, a set of addressable issues are security awareness and training for the workforce. These are things like security reminders, protection from malicious software such as viruses and spyware, login monitoring, and password management. All of these must be addressed. There needs to be a process in place for security incident procedures. There also needs to be required elements of a contingency plan, including what organizations do to back up their data, disaster recovery, and what happens when an emergency mode is brought into play. There also needs to be evaluation of the security process and explicit agreements with business associates, the so-called chain of trust, where you can be trustworthy based on the agreements that you have with others who are trustworthy. The second category of safeguards is physical safeguards. Access to the facility is addressable, so the facility must have a security plan with contingency operations, maintenance records, and other controls. There are requirements for workstation use, physical security of the workstation, and the dealing with devices and media. There are explicit regulations for how media containing protected health information is disposed of or reused. There are addressable issues on accountability for media and its backup and storage. The third and final category is technical safeguards. This includes issues like access control. Every user of a system with protected health information is required to have a unique personal user identification, and there needs to be emergency access to information when appropriate. Those are required specifications. One addressable specification is automatic log-off. Institutions must decide how quickly they want automatic log-off. And for those who work in operational settings, you know that different groups have different ideas on the length of time before automatic log-off should occur. Encryption and decryption are listed as addressable specifications, probably because the developers of the HIPAA security regulations realized that the technology would be changing and that people within organizations can make the best decisions on encryption and decryption. Audit controls are required under the technical safeguards, while integrity mechanisms that authenticate protected health information are addressable. Authentication of the individual and/or their institution is a required specification. Transmission security is addressable. There are other regulations in the HIPAA security rule, some of which have been strengthened in HIPAA 2, the revised version of HIPAA that was the result of the recent Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Act, or HITECH Act. Business associates, even in the original rule, are required to implement safeguards to protect a covered entity's protected health information. Of course, now they are subject to those same rules and HIPAA 2. Likewise, business associates must ensure that their agents and subcontractors meet the same standards, and they must report back to the covered entity any security incident. Business associates are also subject to the breach notification rules when the number of patients exceeds 500 in terms of reporting to the local media and to the Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights. There are also regulations regarding the documentation of entity security practices and procedures that must be maintained for 6 years. The documentation must be made available to those responsible for implementing security, and it must be reviewed and updated periodically. The meaningful use criteria of the HITECH Act also specifies various government encryption standards, which were discussed in previous segments, such as AES, the Standard for Encryption and Decryption, TLS and IPsec, which cover how information moves across networks, and ISHA-1, which verifies that information is transmitted intact from one point to another. In bringing all of our discussion of privacy and confidentiality and security together, what can we conclude? We can probably conclude that complete security of all health information is impossible. Too many people access information. Too many of the applications are not as robust as they could be. And, as we saw in the previous lecture, security is a trade-off with ease of use. As such, we probably need to find a happy medium where we can attain the kind of security that we want, or at least ideally want, but with the benefits of health information technology, such as error prevention and improved quality. Another question that comes up is, will the theoretical and some real concerns about privacy and security be tempered somewhat when society sees more of the benefits of health information technology? A final question might be, would other societal changes lessen the impact of the problem, For example, changes in our legal system in terms of discrimination being more rigorously prosecuted, changes in the healthcare finance system, and changes in our insurance system so people do not worry about losing health insurance, particularly when they switch jobs.